You're listening to special coverage from NPR News. President Bush just shook the hand again of his Supreme Court nominee and then walked away with him. Samuel Alito getting a pat on the back as he walked out of the Cross Hall, a dramatic, rather formal hallway, colonnaded hallway in the White House. They were standing on the edge of a red carpet speaking to assembled reporters and photographers. President Bush describing Samuel Alito as scholarly, fair-minded, principled, committed to the rule of law. Samuel Alito spoke of his reverence for the United States Supreme Court, which, if confirmed, he would now join as an associate justice. We did not hear a lot of substance about his positions. That will be discussed later. In fact, we'll start discussing it now with NPR's Nina Totenberg, who's been watching the announcement with us. Good morning, Nina.
Good morning, Steve.
So what is known about Alito's past, this 15 years that he has spent as an appeals court judge?
Well, as you mentioned, his nickname is Scalito because he is so much like Justice Antonin Scalia. He's not like him temperamentally. I've met him. I've been on a panel with him even. He's very reserved, very polite, not at all flamboyant in public. But his views are very conservative, so conservative that at one point when the Christian Legal Society made up a list of people that wanted President Bush to name to the Supreme Court, and he was one of the top three. He was a dissenter in the case of Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which is the abortion decision in which the Supreme Court in 1992 upheld the core holding of Roe versus Wade.
His view was earlier on that it should have been the Pennsylvania law.
The Pennsylvania law was a bunch of restrictions on abortion, and the lower court upheld most of them but struck down the spousal notification law, reasoning that battered women, if they had to notify their spouses or tell the police that they were being battered, wouldn't do it, and that was a burden on the women. The case then went to the Supreme Court. Both sides appealed, essentially, and the court used it as a vehicle for affirming Roe versus Wade, the core holding. And in so doing, it struck down that spousal notification law that had been struck down by the lower court and that Judge Alito had dissented from. He would have upheld the spousal notification law. If we look at a bunch of other areas, he, for example, would have, had he been on the court, I assume he would have done what he did on the lower court, which was struck down as unconstitutional, the federal law giving the Family and Medical Leave Act, giving unpaid leave, mandating unpaid leave. And interestingly, the Supreme Court upheld that law. Interestingly, Chief Justice William Rehnquist, a conservative, wrote the opinion. It was a 6-3 opinion.
We're talking to NPR's Nina Totenberg. Nina, stay with us for a moment, if you would. I want to bring in NPR's White House correspondent, David Green, who's been listening to the announcement. And, David, we don't have a lot of reaction yet from Democrats here, a lot of formal reaction. But when you listen to the record, it sounds like if Democrats want to fight on this judge, that they've certainly got issues that they may go after.
It certainly does sound that way, Steve. Nothing we heard from Alito, nothing we heard from the president would give the Democrats the ammunition yet. But the White House has scheduled time for the nominee to head right to the Hill and start meeting with lawmakers. And so they're going to be learning more about him very quickly. It was interesting listening to the president's language, some of the very important language that was so different compared to what he said about Harriet Myers. He said that Alito served for 15 years on a court. He has more prior judicial experience than any Supreme Court nominee in 70 years. I mean, if we reverse just a couple weeks, the president was saying how great it was that he had a nominee, Harriet Myers, who had no experience as a judge. So we see them trying to correct the mistakes immediately.
We didn't necessarily hear, although you have a conservative judge here, you didn't necessarily hear any of those buzz phrases that are assumed to appeal to some conservatives, like saying that he understands the role of a judge in our society. That is something that Republicans are already saying this morning, that he would understand limited government. But Alito did not choose to make that point himself, nor did the president.
That's very true. And that might be, we'll see where it goes from here, but that might be the beginning of the White House strategy to see if they can bring as many Democrats and as many skeptics as possible behind this nomination. But I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot of that language from many of Alito's supporters pretty soon.
Let's go back to Nina Totenberg. Nina, I want to ask again about this word that Judge Alito used in describing the Supreme Court. He said he had great reverence for the United States Supreme Court. I suppose one question that people are going to be asking is how much reverence Alito will have for the Supreme Court. court's precedents, particularly on cases including abortion.
Well, it's interesting that he recently ruled on the so-called partial birth abortion law, and when he upheld the Pennsylvania law or New Jersey law, he went out of his way not to embrace the precedent set down by the Supreme Court, but just to say that he had to do it because the Supreme Court made me do it, essentially, but not that he liked it. The inference here is that he would not go the same way if he had the opportunity. I'm sure that opponents will cast him as hostile to congressional power, hostile to civil rights, hostile to immigrants' rights, to the rights of the disabled. This is the potential for a really knockdown fight. I guess I would call it filibuster bait.
Well, let's talk about that. President Bush pointed out that this man has already been nominated and sent through the Senate once for an appeals court judgeship back in 1990. The president said that he went through easily with unanimous consent by the Senate, which would mean, if it's true, that there are a number of Democratic senators in the Senate still today who were for him at one time, or at least didn't object to him at one time.
Yeah, but Democrats and Republicans at various times have said they're not bound. Voting for somebody for a lower court is a much more routine thing, and it was even more routine back in 1990 than it is now. You saw that we had a huge fight on the floor of the Senate over lower court judges as they became more and more visible, and we had the compromise to avoid the nuclear option. But I'm not sure that that's going to hold here.
How high are the stakes now for this nomination to replace Sandra Day O'Connor on the Supreme Court?
Well, if Judge Alito is confirmed, the court will move dramatically, dramatically to the right. There are conservatives who are less conservative than he. And I guess one could have said that with Harriet Myers, you didn't know. So liberals could hope that she would be a little more to the left. There is no question where he is. He's been on the court for 15 years. There's an established record, much more of a record, I might note, than John Roberts had on a court. And it's going to show a very, very conservative judge. And if Democrats preserved the filibuster for anything, it may be for a nominee like this.
Nina, thanks very much. That's NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg. We've also been talking to NPR White House correspondent David Green, and we will continue our coverage throughout the morning on President Bush's nomination of Samuel Alito Jr., an appeals court judge from the state of New Jersey, to fill the vacancy on the United States Supreme Court. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.